12-Sided Stories is for mature audiences and often deals with topics that may be difficult for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
In the city of dreams, everyone wants to be a star, but at what cost? 12-Sided Stories presents Otherworld Hollywood.
Hello, I am Wes Otis. Welcome to Otherworld Hollywood, episode number 25, our Call of Cthulhu actual play. I am here with some wonderful players. Mac.
Hey, y'all. Mac here, and I am going to be playing Cass Richardson, a.k.a. Lenore Von Mori.
Hello, everyone. My name is Candace, also known as Candace the Magnificent. My pronouns are they, she, and I'm playing Ebony Belafonte, she, her.
Hello, I'm Lev. I use they, them pronouns. And today I will be playing, as usual, Robbie Sarillos, they, she.
Hey, hello, everyone. I'm Sam Starr. I use she, they, and the occasional fate pronouns. And tonight I am playing Amani DuVoe, who uses she, her pronouns.
Hello, I am Michelle Otis, and I am playing Belle Bellington.
Enjoying the show? Then take a moment to join our Patreon. Support the podcast and get early access to episodes and bonus content. Head to 12-Sided Stories Patreon today.
All right, this is a great place for a recap. In the last episode, you all basically reconvened back at Penelope's after an incredible night of both horror and just fantastical things happening. You had a chance to kind of decompress from the fact that Imani's girlfriend, Rose, was eaten by Penelope and Cass in their werewolf form. That was a kind of an amazing scene between the two of them, between Imani and Cass talking about what happened. Meanwhile, the rest of you talked about the fact that there was a trunk that Belle received saying everyone should get what they want. And inside the trunk was War dead, and you put it in the werewolf containment room, I'll say, for the time being. You each just had conversations about what was going to happen next. It was early morning Sunday at that point. It was like 3 in the morning, almost 4. And none of you have slept in a while. And so you all kind of made your way to like this main common room because Robbie was like, nope, nobody can go anywhere. We're going to all stay in the same area because we shouldn't separate every time we do something horrible happens. So we pick the story up there. You all are in the common room and you're talking. And 1 second, you're just kind of looking at each other. And the next second, we find Cass and Penelope walking in tall grass in a huge forest with these large oak trees. And the sky is this strange purplish color with stars and a reddish sun with an outline of blue. And Cass, you realize really quickly that you are in your full wolf form. You are walking on all fours next to Penelope, who is also in the same form. And she stops for a second and then looks at you and says, I believe we fell asleep.
I hope that's what it is.
We're in the realm of the hunt.
What does that mean?
My grandmother had a relationship with the god of the hunt. That is why she became a werewolf herself. That's why I'm a werewolf. And this is his domain. This is where I come when I sleep, and I guess you'll be here too.
So it's not so much sleep as always awake in some way or another.
When you wake up, you won't really remember much of this place. So it's like a dream. It's very real right now, but you'll remember only fragments. We should look for his court. I should show you everything.
And Cass just nods.
So you all start going through this wood, and there's tons of birds and animals. You see, you know, elk and deer and all of these different animals that shouldn't necessarily be in the same region. Like if you were somewhere else, you wouldn't see a caribou next to, you know, some kind of like capybara. You have all these different animals from different regions of the world just in this huge primordial dark forest. And you come to an opening. There is a large, probably about 8 foot tall, I'll say humanoid, standing there with gigantic antlers coming from an elk head. Its skin is complete outer space black, and inside of its body are stars. Next to him is a, I'm going to say, fae-like creature, almost like an elf, probably 4 foot tall, pointy ears, light, pale, pale blue skin, and these really large crystal green eyes. And there are a lot of different creatures on the perimeter, but in the center are a pack of wolves. And Penelope goes, "This is the hunt, and that is Sir Nunos. He is the god of this realm. He only speaks through his advisor there."
Okay. Does he take audience?
Yes, but we have to go on the hunt first, and if we displease him, he will punish us.
Great.
She goes, "Don't worry. Just follow along, and you'll do fine."
And Cass takes just a big breath and nods again and follows Penelope.
You guys enter into the pack, becoming one of them. All right, let's jump over to the others. Belle, Ebony, Robbie, and Amane, you all find yourself on a cobblestone road with tons of people around you, merchants, carts, livestock walking up and down the street. It looks like 1600s city, but all of the buildings are different. It's not like European city or like an African city or a American city. There are just tons of different buildings from all over the world. And in front of you is Easter, sitting a few feet away as you walk onto the street. And he looks up at you and he says, "Ah, finally. I thought you guys would never go to sleep."
"Well, we've had a lot going on."
"Yes, I know. Follow me. You're wanted by Bassett."
I'll kind of scoop Easter up. "Oh, wait, I'm supposed to follow you. Never mind." And I'll put him back down.
He goes, "Robbie, I know that we have a relationship in the real world where you scoop me up, but here I have a certain title I must hold on to. So let's not do that again."
"Sorry."
"I understand. Decorum." And then he walks. So you follow him for a while. And now that you have time to kind of take in the city around you, you notice that there are not only people from all around the world, but other humanoids from all around existence. Creatures that are either close to human or just completely alien, walking around, talking. I'm not going to have you do a resolve check for any of this because you're in a dream state. And so your mind is more open to these sorts of things and you can handle it better. Plus, all of you are dreamers. So dreamers usually can handle the dreamlands a little bit easier. You may get to a large and not shockingly Egyptian sort of building with hieroglyphics and, you know, bright pastel colors with large columns out the front of it. Not Greek columns, obviously. With writings all the way around. And there are hawk guards in front. Not half human, half bird. Total 6 foot tall hawks, which are horrifying. You come through these large wooden gates and you hear the sounds of cats talking everywhere. They're just chatting all over the place. And there are panthers and lions and house cats throughout the entire building walking around. And you finally make it into this inner sanctum with a large pool. You can see the steam coming off the pool. And there's no other cats in here but a large lion just hanging out. Bassette is sitting there in the water. She has a human face this time, though, with cat ears and a long tail. Next to her is Hathor. And next to Hathor is Ra. They all have on human faces, but there is enough of their animal markers that you can go, okay, I know who each of these people are. And Bassette stands up and she says, join us. We have much to talk about.
We're missing one of our people. There's supposed to be five of us and there's only four of us.
You're speaking of the actress named Cass. She can't enter this realm because she is a werewolf. She has to go to Cernunnos. That's where she is now. It is a hard thing not to be separated.
Ebony looks at Hathor with a very measured glance.
Hathor notices this and says, we have a lot to discuss. Now please, enter the pool and relax with us.
I think Ebony strips down immediately to bra and panties, secretly wishing that they had worn something more attractive. It's very plain.
Or something that wasn't, well, you weren't wearing for like a day and a half that went through your whole like house exploding. Yeah.
1000%. Like she's wearing like nighttime day underwear. Yeah. Like it's like bedtime underwear.
Don't match.
Yes, exactly. They're cotton and they're old and the underwire's sticking out of one of them. It's not cute. And she just like creeps in there like, ah.
If I only had my torpedo tit bra, I'd be so much happier.
Hey, that's what Belle's wearing.
Thank you, Belle.
Stop! Not the torpedo tits!
It was the 50s.
Yeah, Belle's wearing her torpedo tits and her little garter belt, you know, the granny kind of garter belt, you know?
Oh my goodness.
So funny.
Yeah, Ebony covers herself as she, like, just tries to elegantly enter this pool without just jumping in so that she can hide from the neck down.
Imani strips and then just like slides into the pool. Like this is just like a regular bayou afternoon. We just got done eating and now we strip down and swim, look out for alligators.
It takes Belle a minute. She's got to take off her girdle. And then slip. And then she gets in.
Robbie like moves like they're going to take their brace off and then they're like, it's a dream. It doesn't matter. So they'll get in.
I think your brace is only on your leg because you're so used to your brace that it's just part of who you are. And so you dream it's on there, but it's really just there, you know? Yeah. Okay, so you all are in the pool and Ross says, I want to thank you for helping us get Sekhmet back. Hathor was not complete without that part of herself. And I had promised that Sekhmet wouldn't bother humans anymore. Having her on Earth was dangerous. So I appreciate the help that you all gave us.
You're welcome, but I was under the impression that female liberation and woman empowerment was something that you all were interested in. If you're calling the shots, which respect to you, Ra, I would hate to think that I was involved in the oppression of another femme who needed help. Is this the case?
He looks at you for a moment, and Hathor puts her hand on his forearm before he speaks. And she says, we have been married for thousands of years now. I am not one that would suffer a fool for that long. A fling, maybe, but not that long. He's the king of our people. And I respect that, but I am his equal in the marriage, and we love each other. Sekhmet is a force of destruction. She was going to kill all of humanity the first time, and even though her trajectory was more measured this time, it was still dangerous. Creating vampires on your planet helps no one.
You aren't wrong. I thank you for the reassurance, not that you had to give it.
You've done us a great help.
Flings, you say? What manner of flings do you engage in if I... You know what? This is not the topic at hand. Please, continue.
She walks up to you through the water, and the water's about just below your waist. So you're kind of sitting on these steps that go down into the center part of it, but it's not a very deep pool. And the water feels amazing. You feel rejuvenated just having it wash over your body. And she walks up to you and she puts her hand on your shoulder and she goes, "We will speak of your reward later, because I know that you have many worries and concerns. And you've helped me, and I shall help you." And she gives you a gentle kiss on the forehead. She goes, "But for right now," turns back around and walks back, "I'm sure you have questions that you need answers for. And Bassett has told me that you have gotten the eye of some dangerous entities."
Ebony just blushes and, like, looks at everybody else like, "I don't know what to say." "I got a smooch. Can you just, like..." "Hey, Belle, do your thing."
"Well, War was in a trunk. Why was War in a trunk? Why was War dead? Sorry, that was a little forceful."
No worry, Robbie. We understand."
"I didn't like War. I'm not sad he's dead, although he was sad. Maybe I am sad he's dead. I don't know why they were there."
"Well, from what Easter has told me, there is a creature that came out of a mirror with a bunch of tentacles."
"That too, that's a big question."
"And that the person who owns the house that Easter is living at is a werewolf. And one of your companions, who you said was missing, is now a werewolf."
"That's less of a concern."
"Okay, well, we'll start with War. I'll be honest, I don't think he's actually dead. There's only one entity that could actually kill War or any of us, and that is not the creature that came through the mirror."
"Is it the creature that tried to eat me in a dream?"
"No, that's the same creature as the one in the mirror."
"What is that? Just real quick."
"I hesitate to say the name, but he is a priest of an entity called Cthulhu, a dreamer."
"He's not even the thing? He's like a priest of the thing?"
"Yeah, he's not even the thing. Cthulhu is a creature that is trapped in a city below the sea, and it sends its dreams out, and the dreams affect people like you who are dreamers. And it has taken great interest in the city of Hollywood. So there are so many dreamers who've flocked there over the years."
"So let me get this right. So this Cthulhu, or whatever, sends its dreams out to however many victims just because they happen to be particular to the brand of people here."
"Correct."
"And what were we supposed to do about it? What can we do about it?"
"Well, number one, hope it never wakes up."
"It's kind of too late for that."
"It's not awake yet."
"This is what it does while it's asleep. This is not awake activities."
"This is not awake activities, no. When it sleeps, it just sends out its dreams. When it wakes, it's like a mountain moving. It can destroy all of you if it wakes. So you need to deal with the priest. The priest is its connection to that city. It's far away from Hollywood. The city that it is trapped in is in the South Pacific. If you deal with the priest, you give yourself some room, at least for some time."
"Is the priest the same thing as what was in the skin robe on that island that I dreamed of?"
"A different form of the same thing, yes."
"So it's kind of been with us."
"Yeah, it's been following you all."
"So what is the priest then? If Cthulhu's the thing, is the priest awake?"
"Yes and no. It lives between both realms. It can enter either one."
"Is it stronger in one world rather than the other?"
"It's usually stronger in the dream world. I mean, it's strong either way compared to humans. You're going to need a special item to kill it."
"You're talking very vague, like this isn't happening right now. Like you can't provide results right now."
"Well, we are going to provide results. We're going to give you the weapon you need in order to take care of the creature."
"What is it?"
Ra stands up and walks out of the room, then comes back with this large, strange metal spear, and he cuts down one of his arms, and all of this blood starts to flow out, and he gets the spear drenched in this blood. And he says, "This if you strike, is able to kill the priest. He puts it up against a wall and he says, when you wake up, this will be in the room where you left war.
Is there something we can do in case we miss? Is there protection?
Good question.
Unfortunately, if you miss, it will have an opportunity to strike one of you, and more than likely you won't make it. There's no armor that I can give you. And if you think back, the ancient Egyptians weren't known for their armor, so...
No, I was thinking more like an amulet or a...
some kind of thing. You know what? What's your luck? Minus the amount that you spent last time.
I know. I always minus the amount that I spent. My luck's 45.
Okay, roll me a luck roll.
40.
He says, I can give you one protection. It will not protect you for long. So make sure that if you miss, you don't miss a second time. And he puts out his hand and there's a jeweled bug on his hand. It's gold with all of these different emeralds and some sapphires all over it. And it starts to move around.
The scarab from the mummy.
Yep, pretty much. So do you take it?
Oh, yeah.
It crawls up your arm, onto your neck, onto your forehead, and attaches itself to the middle of your forehead. You feel it burrow down just a little bit, so it's popping out about half an inch.
Oh!
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can I get a resolve check?
I thought we're dreaming.
All of us? I'm just watching a gold beetle burrow itself into Belle's forehead.
Just Belle.
I thought we were dreaming.
No big deal.
This is a little far.
Horrible.
My favorite was looking at the camera and seeing all of our faces sick, except for Max, who's like,
yeah. 59 over my 58.
Oh no.
All right.
Dice are a cruel mistress.
They really are.
Mac just giggling.
You only take 2 points of resolve damage, so.
The fucking sigh!
Jesus Christ. Such displeasure. Such displeasure in that sigh.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Darn. Sorry. I let the mask slip for a second. Let's get going. Is there any other questions you have for them? They've told you what you must do. You must sever the connection between this god and its priest. That because of the werewolf blood, that Cass and Penelope go to a different part of the dreamland, to a different realm. They're providing you with a weapon drenched in the blood of Ra that should allow you to break the connection. Is there anything else you need to know right now or that you'd like to ask?
I have a thing, but it's not really a question.
Okay.
I guess at some point, kind of in the middle of all of this happening, Robbie's started just like sliding around the edge of the pool until they're next to Bossette.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little slink around the pool. And they're going to drop their head a little bit lower. In stories, there are always people who make promises to deities and in return get strengths or abilities or something to help protect their friends or themselves. If I offered you myself, which isn't a lot, is that maybe something that could happen?
She turns towards you and very gracefully puts her finger under your chin and lifts your face up to her. And she goes, darling, you already gave yourself to me a long time ago. And of course, I'm going to try to protect you. She gives you this deep kiss. And I don't know if Robbie's ever been kissed or had
Robbie's
a kiss like this.
Robbie's never been kissed ever before in their life. Their first kiss is a goddess.
Lots of electricity. And everything kind of fades to black. And you all wake up into the main parlor. I have to jump back over to Mac real quick, but that's where we're going to meet everybody else. It is up to your imagination how far Bessette went with this particular dream. and I'm going to let Robbie decide, okay? And if they tell people, fine. If not, whatever. That works too. So let's flip back over to Mac. You're in the middle of all these wolves, and you feel a pull in yourself. This is your pack. This is who you hunt with. This is who you kill with. You follow the pack. The pack works together. You all hear the horn of Cernunnos, and instinctively you stand up and you all charge out into the woods full bore with Cernunnos running behind you. You can hear his footsteps leaving large impacts into the ground as he sprints forward. You feel your heart just racing, and your heartbeat is in tune with the other wolves. And you see a group of elk as they start to run from you, and you peel off. So let's see if you're able to take down one of these elks. You are a new werewolf, so I'm going to give you a 50% chance in your hunt. So go ahead and roll against your hunt and let me know what you get.
Let's see.
I got a 99.
Mac! No! The critist have failed.
Jesus Christ.
You know, we don't do this that much in this game because I keep forgetting about it, but I will... Well, it's a critical fail. Fuck it. We're going to stick with the critical fail, but if you had just failed, I would have let you pushed it, but you critically failed.
No, that was bad.
Yeah, it was real bad. You jump up to try to take down this elk by the neck and just miss and go head over ass and tumble a few feet and land on your side. You are prone on the ground. And another wolf comes up to you, this large, older wolf with a white coat and a missing eye. And he says, before you try to take something out, you should watch the others and learn how to do it. Are you hurt?
I'm fine.
Then let's go and try to get one the proper way. Come on.
And I think sort of as embarrassed as a wolf can probably look, has that look and trots after.
All right. So the two of you start to run towards another elk, and he is telling you the best way to approach. Go ahead and make another roll, but this time with advantage because you're being helped by a mentor.
Okay. That would be a 26.
So you take down this particular elk. Basically, the older wolf takes its throat out, and you take its legs out from behind. When you taste the blood in your mouth, it is very different from when you attacked Rose. This is like ambrosia. It is a wonderful taste, and it fills you with warmth. You have a strange reverence for the elk that you took down, a feeling of appreciation for life, and you proceed to eat part of this elk while others of your pack come around and also share in the spoils. It is an amazing experience for you in all. You didn't realize how many wolves there are. By the time the hunt's over, it feels like there's a few hundred. And you make your way back to the clearing, your muzzle covered in blood. Penelope says, are we going to try and talk with Cernunnos about all the things going on? It could be dangerous, or should we just let it alone?
I don't see that we have any options that aren't dangerous at this point.
Well, you're the actress. I'll let you take the lead.
I'm going to go look for Cernunnos.
So once you enter the clearing, he's where he was, sitting down on a throne of antlers. And the creature that I mentioned before, the pale blue elfish creature with the large green eyes, says to you, why do you approach?
I have questions that I was hoping we might be granted some answers on.
This is your first time with us. You're new to our pack.
Yes.
And you already approach Cernunnos. Bold of you, to say the least. What questions do you have?
We're dealing with some entities that have been plaguing me and my friends, and wondered if Sir Nunos might have knowledge of these creatures and perhaps weaknesses.
Do you describe the creatures to him?
Yeah, I give my best recap.
He goes, dreams aren't Sir Nunos's realm, especially with those particular creatures that you speak of. But we could give you some help. The pack could give you help. In the real world, the pack would be able to come and maybe not defeat the creature, but at least keep it busy for you. But for this blessing, Sir Nunos would need something from you.
What would he ask of me?
You are friends with the other wolf over there, correct? And he points towards Penelope.
Yes.
She has an item. It is a statue, a strange-looking tree that's rotted from the middle. It is small, and it was created a long time ago. It needs to be destroyed, and Sir Nunos wants you to destroy it.
Am I going to get any details on why, or is this above what you feel I should know?
Sir Nunos was blocked from being able to come back to the world by a group of mortals a long time ago. He wishes to return to his rightful throne. And in order to do that, he needs that trinket destroyed. So for our help, you will help him.
Am I allowed to think on this?
You will. If you do what you're asked, help will arrive when you need it.
I understand.
And all of you wake up together in the drawing room of Penelope's place. Easter is sleeping next to the fire, and you hear the sound of the butler come through the front door. He walks into the room and goes, "Oh, I didn't realize we were having so many people for breakfast. I'll get on that, madam." And then he walks away from the drawing room.
Sigh included.
So this is a good opportunity for you all to kind of share notes and talk about plans and stuff of what you would like to do. It is Sunday morning, probably around 10 o'clock. You should have not gotten enough sleep, but because of the activities that you were doing, you feel completely refreshed.
Belle just kind of runs her fingers over her forehead.
There's a large bump.
Oh, no.
On the center of your forehead.
Belle just has a goose egg for the rest of the game.
I feel like I want a moment to talk with Penelope separately, but I can wait on that.
Well, we can do that real quick while everybody else kind of figures out what they want to talk about as a group. So you pull Penelope to the side. You kind of leave the drawing room. She goes, "How'd the conversation go?"
"It was weird, very strange. But what do you know about Sir Nunos? Is it a dangerous entity?"
"According to my grandmother, yes. And my aunts."
"So something we wouldn't want coming into this world?"
No. I'll be honest with you. There were a lot of stories about what happened that didn't really make sense. But the short of it was that he tried to turn London into a forest and back into the original city that it was."
"I see. He offered assistance, the assistance of the pack, but you have some kind of a trinket, like a tree?"
She goes, "Oh, yeah, I know what that is." And she walks over to one of the bookcases and she points, and on one of the shelves it's about 3 inches tall, and it's a tree without any leaves, and it's twisted. And looking at it, it looks disturbing to you. She goes, "My aunt told me that I have to keep that safe, that we shouldn't do anything to it. But here's the problem. If we don't do what Sir Nunos has asked, he might punish us."
"This is the second time you've brought up punish. Define punish here."
"He won't allow us to go on the hunt. And if he doesn't allow us to go on the hunt, it's torturous."
"Yes, well, wouldn't want anything else torturous to happen. I mean, what I'm at such a loss, Penelope.
I am too. It's a hard decision. We have to deal with whatever that creature was. Let's talk to the others and see what they think. We might not need the pack, but I have a feeling that if Sir Nunos knows that I am in possession of the trinket he wants destroyed, that simply not doing it isn't going to end the subject. We may be in more trouble than we realized. The two of you go back into the room, and Penelope says, "Where did you all go? And why does Robbie look so happy and quiet? Why is Robbie so quiet? Robbie, this is the longest you've gone without speaking, and that smile on your face, where did you guys go?"
"A pool. We went swimming."
"Went swimming.
Robbie finally got some."
"I see.
Okay, this is just a really quick question. It doesn't have anything to do with everything that's been going on, but is that what kissing's always like?"
"Oh, you have no idea. That's just getting started, darling."
Evany just giggles.
"I took a lot of time, and I didn't do that for a really long time. That was the first time that's ever happened to me. I don't know if I've told you guys that. That's the first time that's ever happened."
"Wait till it's your second set, darling. Life-changing."
Robbie just kind of blue screen. The 50s equivalent of blue screens, that's what Robbie does.
So basically a dead channel with all the,
yeah, all the static.
Antwar.
Or like the bar.
Static.
I was going to say Disney Channel at like mm-hmm. midnight, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, the police stand mm-hmm. by.
Right after Zorro. Just
after Zorro.
All of you notice then suddenly, and you look at Ebony, and she has changed quite a lot.
"Why are you all looking at me like that?"
Her hair has suddenly become very white, thinner on the top. She has wrinkles on her face, underneath her eyes. And that's where we're going to end this episode.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
Uh-oh. I'm not going to be the one to tell her.
Who's going
to
tell me?
I'm not going to be the one to tell her.
I was like, oh, no. I think I have a compact. I don't.
I've called her old to her face before. I'll do it.
Cool. Question, is it worse than savage. Before she started taking that stuff?
A lot worse, yeah. Yeah.
This is like worse. Drinking from the wrong grail worse.
He chose poorly.
Oh, no.
As long as my skin doesn't melt off my bones, I'll be okay.
That might be the Probably. Last stage that Wes has planned yeah. for you. Like, this is the right before the end is when your skin starts sloughing off.
Ugh. You guys want to make out?
They said second was the best, so.
All right. So thank you all so much. That was a lot of fun. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Let's find out where all you wonderful people are. Let's start with Candace.
Hello, everyone. I have been Evany. My name is Candace. You can find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at the Candace Marie. And everywhere else, I'm at Candace the Magnificent. Every other Saturday, I'm over on Matihi's channel on Twitch doing What We Do in the Shallows, a 5e horror AP. And then I'm in a bunch of other places, too. Just check me out on socials.
Hello, I'm Lev. You can find me on Twitter at Lego M2, the number 2RS. Usually I'm over hanging with Mayday. I say hanging like I'm not part of the company. I'm part of Mayday. We're playing Orpheus right now, which are ghost hunters that are ghosts. Things are getting sad and gay as usual. And we'll have more of our Delta Green actual play Doom to Repeat soon. Or maybe now. Who's to say when this comes out?
Hello. I'm Sam. I was Amani. You can catch me all across the interwebs at Lust for Life X, LustForLifeX. Catch me every Saturday at 8 o'clock p.m. on Transplanter RPG's Twitch channel or at By Connie Chung TikTok, Transplanter, Second Campaign, Chaos Protocol. Shit is sad and gay, but also mysteries. So good time. All the rest of my cool stuff, just follow me on socials.
Hey, y'all. I have been and will continue to be Mac Beauvais. You can find me everywhere online as at Strange Like That.
Hey, I'm Michelle. You can find me on the socials at Michulhu. That's M-I-C-H-U-L-H-U. You can find my music and Wes's amazing sound effects if you subscribe to the Plate Mail Games catalog through BattleBards.
And I am Wes Otis. You can find me at Plate Mail Games on all the socials. You can find the show at 12 Sided Stories, the number 12 Sided Stories on all the different social media platforms. On our website, it's 12sidedstories.com, all written out, all one word. And there you'll find our links, including our link to our Discord, which is awesome for you to join and to speak with us and say hi. You could also join us over on Patreon, where you can support the show. I'm actually starting to run games for our Patreon people. And every once in a while, we might have a cast member jump in with us and play as well. So if you like the sound of that, join us there. If you can't do that, then definitely give us just a shout out on your social media or follow us on our different platforms. We will talk to you next time on more Otherworld Hollywood. Bye.